This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to Census 2020. April 1st is officially National Census Day, but you may have already received your invitation to participate in the mail, or it's coming soon. I'm David Fair, and over the last several months, we've been bringing you news and information about the national population count by working with the good folks at the Washtenaw County Office of Community and Economic Development. We've focused on security, immigration, the manner in which the census determines congressional representation and funding for many of our local essential services. Today, we're going to explore exactly how to fill out that census form. We have two guests with us. Returning to us from the Office of Community and Economic Development is its director, Teresa Gelati, and thank you for coming back. I do appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
And our other guest today is Denise Jimenez. Denise is a student coordinator at Engage EMU and working to get full participation among the residential students on and around the Eastern Michigan University campus. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me as well.
Some have received their invitation in the mail, but there are plenty who have yet to get them. What should they look forward to, Teresa?
So this week and next week, you should be getting a small mailing from the U.S. Census. On it, it's going to have an ID number that you can use to fill out the census online, as well as information about how to call if you prefer to call by phone to take the census. If you do it online, you're going to go to my2020census.gov, and that's where everything gets started.
Let's say you have to go to a library, or you're trying to do this from work and get it done and out of the way, and you don't have that form number on you. Is there a way to still complete the form?
Absolutely. And I imagine this will be many of us that maybe don't have it with us when we're thinking about taking it or do it on our phone somewhere. What you can do then is still go to that website, my2020census.gov, and instead of putting in the number that's on this mailing you're going to get, there's going to be a link, and it's going to say, do you not have your form or something like that? And it's basically a link. And what it does is open up a couple of questions about your address, and it will allow you to still take the census for your address and for your household.
Okay, so now I get into this official government form. Any reason I should be concerned, frightened, or otherwise trepidatious?
Not at all. So there's a lot of protections around confidentiality with the census. Denise even knows the actual act that has the information.
So the act is Title 13. So the Census Bureau cannot release your information in any way that will kind of expose the identity of the person living there and anyone else living in that home.
And there are significant penalties for those who go against that, correct?
Absolutely.
So, Teresa, what is the first question I'm going to be faced with as I start to take the 2020 U.S. Census?
Well, the first one's a tough one. It's your name.
I've messed it up before.
You've got it. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to put in your name and you're going to put in your phone number. Whoever is filling it out, so in the case, if I'm taking the census, I'm going to put down Teresa Gelati, I'm going to put my phone number, and then I'm going to continue taking the census for my entire household.
You are listening to Census 2020 on 89.1 WEMU. We've begun going through the census form with the director of the Washtenaw County Office of Community and Economic Development, Teresa Gelati. And before we go any further, I do want to again bring in our other guest into the conversation. Denise Jimenez is an EMU student working for full participation among students on and around campus. On a personal note, Denise, where's your hometown?
Canton, Michigan.
And have your family members there filled out the form yet, or are they preparing to do so?
They haven't filled out the form yet recently. They've been kind of hesitated about it, mostly because of the confidentiality that it has. But now that I've informed them a bit more, they are going to start taking the census as of starting right now.
Would they include you on that form? You are an Eastern Michigan University student, and you are here in Ypsilanti.
For me, actually, since I live at home, they would include me in the form.
Okay.
But a majority of my friends who are students that live together in apartments or houses, they would enter anybody living in that apartment or house. They should be counted there, not at their parents' house. It, like, doesn't matter if they're on a lease or not. The census is not going to share that information with anyone else or your landlord. And it's just important that you just include the total number of people within that household.
So what is the proper way to count residents in student rentals? Is it one person in the household fills out the form and it includes everybody, or does everybody do it individually?
One person fills out for the entire household. And when we say household, anybody that's living there as of April 1st and intends to live there at that time. So if you've had people who have been crashing for a few months and then are going to still be there, include them, yourself, your roommates, everyone should be on the form.
What about dorm rooms? Same?
Right, similar, although Eastern has a partnership with the census, so they're actually going to be able to report people in the dorm room separately.
Once again, you're listening to Census 20 on 89.1 WEMU. And Teresa Gelati, you started to take the census. You filled out your name. What comes next if we are doing that in our homes?
Right, I got that name in, now the phone number, and then the next thing is the number of people living in the house. In my case, it's going to be two, myself and my husband.
As we end the people question, are we going to be asked more personal questions as part of the census form?
There's going to ask for each person that's living in your household. It's super important to also list, again, anyone living with you, but including children. I think for some reason we forget to put our kids down, or if there are other kids staying with you, other family members, all of those folks should be listed individually on the form.
And Denise, again, there is more that will be asked of us, sex, date of birth, those kinds of things, perhaps origin, and maybe that was why some of your family members have been concerned?
Yeah, so they ask, like you said, person, sex, date of birth, age, Hispanic origin, and then the race, the family origin, that's pretty much it, but I would like to emphasize that it is strictly confidential. And you just answer those questions for each person in the household and like how each person is related with one another.
Is there a mechanism by which, if people are being counted more than once, that it will somehow be noted and that we're not going to have either overcounts or undercounts because of incorrectly filling out forms, Teresa?
Yes, there is a question that does sort of ask at the very end if you could potentially be counted somewhere else. And so it's a flag so the census can go and double check and make sure that they're counting accurately.
So once you've gotten through that, we've done this pretty quickly through conversation. Is that about as long as it takes to fill out the census form?
It's estimated about 10 minutes. If you have a big household, obviously longer, a smaller household, shorter. But yeah, about 10 minutes of your time.
And so then you have options on the way you can communicate that information to the Census Bureau?
We mentioned this online form. So for folks that are online, have a data plan on their phones, go to the computer lab in a library, it'll be very easy to do. But if you're not comfortable with a computer, you can also call by phone. Both the online version and the phone call, there's multiple languages. So if you're also English is not your first language, or if you're comfortable talking in another language or filling out the form in another language, you'll have access to that. And then you can also request a paper form. And in some cases, if you forget, there will be a form sent to you, especially in some areas that are hard to count areas of the county.
I want to come back to this because I think it's vitally important, and we have touched on it on a number of occasions. There are folks who are hesitant to fill out this census form. Through the process of trying to educate the public, holding events, community engagement process here on campus and out in the community, Denise, have you run into people that are hesitant to answer or are concerned about the information and how it may be used?
Yeah, so there's some people that I've run into, especially from a Latinx audience. They just believe that if they come across that information, they fill it out, and somehow someone else gets it, they could possibly get deported, and that's for undocumented people. And I have had told them multiple times that it's completely confidential and no one will have access to that information except the Census Bureau. Like, essentially, it's all about just collecting data. It's not about worrying about you and your information and getting it out there to government agencies, because that's definitely not allowed. But yeah, I've always informed them that it's really protective and it's really safe. And then the way that they're doing it right now, doing online forms and stuff, that's also really safe. And the technology that we have in this day, I'm guaranteed that it's going to be protected data.
And Teresa Gelati, why is it so important that every single person, documented, undocumented, in-home, homeless, why is it so important that every person be counted?
It's so important. This count informs so much that happens. It informs funding for our schools, for our roads, for health care, for so many services that come through federal and state government. It helps inform how we work in the community, policy, even where stores are located. We know that by where people live and what their needs are, their ages, all those sorts of things. It comes in so many places. The census impacts decisions that we make every day, funding for programs. And so making sure we're counted, make sure that we have the power in some cases to get things done. Representation is the other big one. If you're not counted, then those are that many fewer people that can be considered for a congressional district or something like that. So it's really important across the board.
And Denise, between now and the official census day of April 1st, how are you going to be spending your time to further educate the campus community?
So we are still holding lobby tables about census and voting from March 25th and the 31st. It's just to inform students that we do have open labs during census week, and just to kind of teach them how to take the census online and how we can help them if they don't have the English language fluently. And we just kind of help them around to navigate and know what to do.
And Teresa, when will you start getting the data back from the Census Bureau that will allow for further planning and development of community and essential services?
Well, we do have to wait a minute. As well as we're all taking the census in March.
Well, counting 300 million people plus is difficult.
It's true. right now we're doing the online and phone. Eventually we'll get mailed forms. And if people get missed, there will be door-to-door canvassers that come out. And that will happen spring, summer, and fall. So we won't get to the data that we can't wait to see until 2021. We'll have parts of it released over the course of the year.
I'd like to thank both of you for the time and the information today. I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
That is Washtenaw County Office of Community and Economic Development Director Teresa Gelati. And Denise Jimenez is an EMU student who serves as student coordinator for EMU Engage, working for full participation among students on and around campus. For more census information and to visit the Census 2020 archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.